Brother Michael's topic for the baptismal discourse is, Give me thine heart.
Good morning, my dear brethren. Certainly thank you, Brother Dan, and we appreciate the prayer. We certainly need the prayers on our behalf to continue to help us walk in our own narrow way, in a way pleased to the Father. Before we begin our comments, I wanted to once again bring the love of your brethren in Orlando. I think we have about 30 here, but those who are back at home, I know that they're wanting to be here and they love you dearly and ask an interest in your prayers as they pray for you. It's a blessed morning that we have here to share in the symbolizing of the consecration that these dear ones have made. And so it is a blessed privilege for me to strive to speak words of hope and encouragement as they go on in their Christian walk. Give me thine heart. As you know, dear ones, these words are taken from Proverbs 23:26, and ends with, And let thine eyes observe my ways. You have responded to that call, which came from the Heavenly Father, and in so doing, you have joined with those round about you today in this meeting place, and those not here today, with your brethren around the world, who want the best for you. They want you to grow and develop. They want to put their arms around you. If they could right now, they would embrace you with love and compassion and understanding. And also then the footstep follows of the Lord. Those who have walked this narrow way before you and each of us. Those who are no longer with us, who have finished their course, but we with them have been yoke fellows together with the dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and with one another. That's a sobering thought. Yoke fellows together. Going on for that same mark, the same development, and helping one another in that narrow way. So as we said, my brethren, these dear ones sitting here in the front row today, before our Heavenly Father, in which each of us have made a consecration vow, and that vow is the real baptism. The symbol is found in the water, which you shall soon complete. For indeed you shall complete this symbol today by water immersion before these witnesses. We are reminded that baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo. Strong's 907. To dip, to immerse, to cover. And we're going to look at Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul teaches us that baptism is really an emblem of both death and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 10:2. Ye are dead, reckoned dead as a human being, and those life rights here on this earth. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. And you are now walking in newness of life. You have desire to set your affections on things above. God, his dear Son, whom yet you have not seen but love. You have repented from sin and are trusting in the precious blood of Christ, fully realizing that there is no other name by which you can be delivered from the sick and dying world. And you are willing, as we said, to give up this earthly inheritance, anything of this world, to strive for that blessed heavenly inheritance from the Father. Set your affections upon things above. And that's a very important consideration, which goes along with our Father telling us to observe my ways. Often when we quote that verse from Proverbs 23, we just say, Give me thine heart. But But that second part, observe ye my ways, is so important. It's really right on our theme text for the convention from Proverbs 3:1. You follow his commandments. You do them daily in your life, observing his ways. Follow me. So important. So, it shows that now it is your desire to learn more of God's character, his wisdom, justice, love, power, and along with that comes his mercy. He's a merciful God. It's so important that we consider these things, remember them in our mind. This is part of what we would term our spiritual focus, part of your reasonable service, Romans 12:1. It is your commission to focus on these things so that you would develop a greater what? Admiration, reverence, and especially a heartfelt love for the Lord, that giver of every good and perfect gift. Our Father sees and hears all things. He reads the innermost desires of our heart. He knows those who are sincere in their beliefs. And because the Lord sees his little flock, has set their affection, their love, their devotion on him, and really all that you have to give, it rightfully belongs to the Lord. As we studied in the past, this includes your time, your talents, and anything that would be of value. We are to ask ourselves then these familiar words from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. They've already been quoted this week. And they quoted how many times? 4 times in the morning of this convention. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. We all realize that these words are coming from the morning resolve. And isn't it fitting, though? For when we gave our hearts to the Lord, we made it and made that consecration, it really was the beginning of a new way and a new day in which we entered in that covenant relationship with him, vowing from that day forward to fulfill our covenant of sacrifice even unto death. Taking up the cup of salvation, dying daily, from 1 Corinthians 15:3. We should also be fully aware that we have vowed that vow each day with that attitude of heart and mind that we are reaffirming our desire to be conformed to his character likeness, to do then what our hands find to do. This is observing his ways. Do what I ask you, and we do it willingly, trusting in him. So each day is one of laying down our lives in service. Now Psalm 118:24, which we realize has a deeper meaning concerning the kingdom, but it fits with our thoughts. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So today, we rejoice each day that we're privileged to awaken. We set our priorities. We set our goals. We reaffirm those. We rejoice and we're glad. Ours is a way of self-sacrifice. We're striving to overcome the world, the spirit of the world, put down the weaknesses of the flesh, the old man and his ways, and especially its resistance to sacrifice. So by making this consecration, we, you, dear brethren, have really decided firmly on a course of action, which is to be honest in all matters of life, to trust in the providential overruling of all of your interests for your highest welfare, to seek to be pure in heart and to be content with the Lord's leadings. Remember that godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. We're never content with self. There's work to be done in our lives, but we're always content with the Heavenly Father and the dear Son. So, brethren, we must have the spirit or application of these expressions committed to our character. They cannot be only words that we read each morning or just when we attend a convention. Again, we're supposed to be not only hearers of that word, but doers of the word, and that is the difficult part. We realize there's a great difference between hearing and listening. And with that listening and making it your own is the application of it. Of course, that doers of the word is James 1:22. You have been called to bear forth good fruits, the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit, shown to us in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It shows that there must be a progression in our lives. You should not be the same person spiritually as you are today sitting in this room if you wake tomorrow. You should have grown today, and then the application of it once again. Verse 24 of that same scripture we're quoting tells us, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts and have voluntarily agreed." There's no force agreement. There's no coercion. You're a free moral agent. You have voluntarily then agreed to live contrary to the emotions and desires of the fallen flesh. So, my dear brethren, the things that we have consecrated to God are sometimes referred as our little all. We just sang it in the hymn. Galatians 3:23-24. These really include the cup of self-denial. Gladly sacrifice self, which is required to have opportunity for the heavenly inheritance. Realizing, brethren, and it can't just be words. It'll be reality. To whom much is given, much is required. We know this to be true from the Lord's words in Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Once again, this implies how we are to count the cost of discipleship. And it just can't be today, as you symbolize your consecration. We daily count the cost. Am I leading a life pleasing to thee, dear Father? Am I growing and developing? Am I applying what I've studied? Am I starting to put down the weakness of the flesh? Again, if you continue to faithfully serve Him, He has promised to reward you with a prize too beautiful to comprehend. Glory, honor, immortality. It's the wonderful considerations of the Father who loved you and wants what's best for you. And as you will see, and to those who have previously made a consecration, realize to accomplish this involves observing His ways, study about the character of God, walk faithfully in the Lord's footsteps. And these words apply to paying our vows to the Lord now and in the presence of His people. The Lord requires a public confession, a witness before men. I think it's found in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, brethren, it's your commission to honor the principles of righteousness and do so daily in your lives to show forth a loving character. And to those we come in contact with, again, by doing this, we are looking to bring forth praise and glory to God, not on ourselves. Now, as we gather together here this week, perhaps it's good to be able to do these things. It's easier to be able to do these things. But we have to be the same person that we are here today when we go out in our daily lives, if it's school or work or in our community. That's letting your light shine. We're the same. Because what? We said it. God reads the intents of your heart. He sees and He hears all things. He desires that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. This is be done with heart. As we said, sincerely. Harmony with the divine arrangement. In the true way. Through Christ. Along with this comes this verse from Psalm 51:17. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And as we've studied in the past, I know you have, it's a sincere sorrow for sin. You know, nothing we can give the Lord, even after our acceptance in Christ, has any value in His sight until we first give Him ourselves, our hearts and our wills. Now, let thy will be done in my heart. Let me be accepting of that will. You know what's best for me. And that's total trust in Him and our Lord Jesus. It shows us really the proper way of serving Him, which is through humility. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. James 4:10, and also Psalm 147:6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. And as Jesus humbled Himself, brethren, with such great obedience, humility, self-sacrifice, we are to follow in His example. Just a few parts of a scripture from the scriptures from 2 Corinthians 4:14-18. They're familiar to us. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. And though our outward man perish, yet that inward man, that new creature, the embryonic new creature, is renewed day by day. Our affliction is light, but it cannot be compared to that eternal weight of glory, because those are afflictions are for a moment. And we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. And what about those others? The things which are not seen are eternal. The eternal weight of glory. Seeing the Lord face to face. Greeting the loved ones, brethren, who have gone this way before and have fulfilled their consecration vow. It's been mentioned in this convention. It should stir up your emotions to know of this prospect. So as the church will be the temple of God, perfect on the heavenly plane, so each member begotten of the Holy Spirit as new creatures in Christ Jesus has to realize God is dwelling with them, with you, brethren. He's dwelling with you. You've opened up your heart to Him. And so, we realize then, He has promised, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. Let us have the Holy Spirit ruling our mortal bodies. How can we have other than the peace of God ruling there? Colossians 3:15. And I was reminded of a scripture. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, in me. We can have peace and rest with God. It's not complete peace. We're in a world of chaos and disorder, as we had expressed. But we can rest in His plans and purposes. But it's not a complete rest. That rest lies beyond the veil. When your trials, testings, experiences, joys and sorrows, your mountaintop, your valley experiences are over. And you're properly prepared to enter in the joys of your Lord. Now at the same time, We're tabernacled in fleshly body. We must be on guard that during our trials and experiences, we keep our new mind strong, thinking on the good things. We find help for this in the words from Hebrews 12:3. For consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, and lest you become faint and weary in your minds. And our minds can be our special battleground, brethren. Because what? Self-sacrifice is contrary to what we, as the old man or mind, may desire to do. But recall Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Remember when he was rebuked? He was persecuted? He didn't lash back. He committed himself to the Father who had judged righteously. We're told to study out, comprehend, appreciate the Lord's course, his example, his teachings. Take note of, reflect upon, remember. And we should daily rejoice that he has called us, the Heavenly Father, called us to walk in his Son's footsteps. So it is your desire, dear brethren, as it was ours when we consecrated, when we also sat in that front row, to symbolize what has taken place in course in your lives, and complete consecration to walk in the Lord's footsteps, taking up your cross to follow him. And there's more. To faithfully endure to the end. Hebrews 3:14. Now, brethren, our Lord Jesus seemed to give a formula for water immersion to us when he said, as recorded in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit." Now, it's done in and by the authority and not in the likeness of the Father and the Son. And you are not only being baptized into Christ, but in the name of the Father and the Son and through that power of the Holy Spirit. It's not merely something that our Lord Jesus instructed us and wished for us to do, to commemorate. He wanted us to know that when we did this, we were doing something in harmony with the will of the Father and of the Holy Spirit and in harmony with his own Spirit. So baptism is approved by God, by our Lord, the Spirit of truth. Matthew 28:20 tells us, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world." These are provided to us as words of encouragement. And also in John 17:17, you know it, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It's faith in the blood of Christ is the first step. And then through sanctification of the Spirit, of the will, comes the setting apart, making holy of our hearts from earthly ambitions to heavenly ones. I'm looking upward. My goal is Christ. Our goal is to be faithful unto death and be with him in the heavenly realm. Then, we also realize it's that after justification through faith comes that sanctification, consecration of heart and mind. Two parts. First, a consecration. And then second, just as we said, observe my ways, the performance of that consecration in our daily life. And then glorification, having reached that mark of perfect love, entering in the joys of heaven. Immortality. We can't even imagine what that is. But with that perfect mind, after we reach the mark of perfect love, we will know. He put your feet upon the solid rock, Christ and the apostles. He opened up that new and living way, as we said. And then, therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by that new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Hebrews 10:19-20. And therefore, if any man be Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So, brethren, what are the evidences of your consecration? They are shown by your love for God, who first loved us, first loved you, love for his dearest son, and acceptance of him as your redeemer, demonstrated by your love for the brethren. We have been told to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. This scripture really puts it this way, an unfeigned, so a true, sincere love for the brethren. It's reflected and evidenced by your faith and your hope based on the Heavenly Father's plans and purposes. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It also refers to keeping the first commandment that the Master gave to those who would be his disciples, to those who would consecrate their lives with him, even unto death. Love one another as I have loved you. And it's kind of a little caveat there. Even to complete self-sacrifice. John 15:12. The second text might be termed the apostolic commentary on the new commandment when John wrote to his fellow Christians, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. 1 John 3:16, an important witness of the Spirit. Some other indications or witnesses of the Spirit or divine favor would be fellowship with the Lord in prayer. Through the Word, we develop a love of divine plan, a combination which will bring blessings to all the families of the earth. And this is a time for which we pray. When the problems of this world will pass away, all will know of him one day from least to the greatest. We are to delight in everything that is righteous, just, honest, lovely, pure, and of a good report, we are told, Philippians 4:8, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. It's our new mind. It is desiring to be in character likeness of our Lord, development of that Christ-like character. And also we're reminded to cast our care upon him, because he careth for you. He careth for you, dear brethren. And one of the ways to do this is taking advantage of that wonderful privilege of prayer. We must do it. Psalm 40:5. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. So we have to come to Christ. We come to him day by day. If we're privileged, year by year, we must progress. And sometimes it is not only hour by hour, it's minute by minute. Our brethren are going through severe trials and experiences. But again, through all those things, there shines that loving face of the Heavenly Father. We love him. And we're thankful for this verse, Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, a gift. He visited the Gentiles to call out of them a people for his name. The beloved Son granted to those who accept him the opportunity to receive the adoption of sons. And it's from John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. You know the verses probably that I'm going to quote next. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs and joint heirs with God, with Christ, excuse me. If so that be we suffer with him, we will be glorified together. That's Romans 8:16-17. Now, the names of these footstep followers are written in heaven. They will be called, you will be called, if faithful, by a new name. Seeing him as he is, beloved, now we do not As the sons of God appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. I think it's shown also in Revelation 2:17 by the giving of a white stone. That's the promise of God. The seal of the Holy Spirit by which the Lord identifies those who are more than overcomers, more than conquerors. And so, brethren, what a glorious prospect, my dear ones. And remember, along the line with this, as we mentioned a little bit, he taught us to pray, our Lord did in Matthew 6. And so, I want to stress, and I know all of us realize this, but we have to put it into action. It's so important to have an active prayer life. It's a conscious, intimate part of our relationship with the Father through his Son. It marks a better and higher understanding. If you're striving to progress upward, it gives us that communion, that better understanding with him, our lifeline to the Father in our Christian development. We give him adoration and praise. So, brother, now really, prayer is a force, a important part of our spiritual lives. We're to pray with humility, though, and reverence. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14:28. Knowing that 1 John 2:1 tells us when we sin and fall short. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so it then leads us to really promote all of our interests to the extent that we take full advantage of our opportunities. And again, pray for him. Those who despitefully use you. And as we mentioned, perhaps it's easy to go to the Lord in prayer when everything's going well. But when we have trials and testings, we should also go to the Lord in prayer. Remembering the words from our hymn, are ye weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? You take it to the Lord in prayer, and he answers it. But it's along the line, thy will be done. You're casting all your care upon him. Again, fully trusting in him. And you know, brethren, there's no matter too great or too small to take to the Lord in prayer. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our needs. But he wants us to approach him before the throne of heavenly grace. And there's another element that I want to mention, which is shown to us in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 6 through 8. My mouth shall praise thee with joy. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, and therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Now, brethren, when we're going through difficult trials, nighttime experiences, I know this verse has other applications, but when we're down on our knees in prayer, when we're speaking of things and pouring out our heart to him, things known only between us and the Lord, it's a special time for communion because we're pouring out our hearts to him. And we recall those words from our Lord. He invited us to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Matthew 11:28. So we should be strengthened by the assurance that our burdens are our Lord's burdens. Our trials, his trials. Our interests are his interests. This is how we become true yoke fellows together with him. And we then desire to have the attitude as expressed in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We can't have strength on our own. We're in these frail, mortal bodies, but we have strength through him. He covers us under his robe of righteousness, under the shadow of his wings. And also, he says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Brought all also in Hebrews 13:5. Now, God will always do his part. That's a sure thing. Not many sure things in this world today, but we have God's word, his promise. And I know each of us has a special promise. I think it was brought out the other day in a discourse. We all must have knowledge of his promises, but there's a special one that we can grasp hold of and use in our lives, in our experiences, in our times of need. It's the hope of his calling. He provides us with the finest of wheat from his rich storehouse, Psalm 147:14. He provides everything that we need. The water of truth, deep, refreshing water. It revitalizes us. It keeps us going on. He'll make you perfect in every good work, Hebrews 13:20-21. And that desire of our heart, now we have to do our part. We say, thy will be done, as we said. But also, I am determined not to know anything among you, Seth, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. And so, we want to do our part. Develop, grow, show forth. And also Philippians 3:14. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Everything pertaining to our life. And again, it's all about our focus, our attitude. Set your affections on things above, Colossians 3:2, as we've mentioned. And doing anything less than that would be displeasing to God. So, as Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is to live for Christ Jesus. We want to have the careful study of the divine word. The importance of and leading of the illumination of the Holy Spirit and having an enthusiastic zeal for its accomplishments, being zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. So, zealous of good works, study, leading of that illumination in our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit. Now, brethren, I've been addressing these comments to certainly the candidates, but all of us, but some specific things I'm going to review and directly to these dear ones sitting in the front row. You wish to symbolize your consecration. And through this consecration, you have communion and fellowship with the Father through the Son. And that invitation, take up your cross and follow me. You're then sanctified and set apart to God to be used in his service, to grow and develop in a way pleasing to him. Recall the words from Psalm 91:1-2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He called you out of the world of darkness and despair into this marvelous light. He set your feet upon that solid rock. He invited you to be taught of him. John 6:45. Now, brethren, why you? Why me? He saw something in you that could be used in his service. And if faithful, you'll have a place in that heavenly body. Remember, many body members rightly fit together and then controlled by that head, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. So you have a talent. You have something to offer, or you not have been called. That's an awe-inspiring thing. He reached down in the speck of this cosmos and called you. And you responded to that. It's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful blessing. So rightly fit together, the hope of your calling, and again, Ephesians 1:18, that was, your eyes of understanding will open more and more widely in proportion as you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He desires you to be faithful in matters great and small, and wants you to keep, strive to do those thoughts and motives that you have as pure as possible. So we're supposed to have pure intentions. We're not pure. We're not perfect. But again, the intents of our heart. Always unto the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Remember to keep the words, Christ in you, the hope of glory, each day. Colossians 1:27. And then let your light so shine amongst men. They see your good works. They see your character in your daily life. You spread the gospel message to those who have you come in contact with, that there's a wonderful kingdom of joy, love, peace, safety that will be completely established on this earth, we pray, one day soon. And also, your chief commission is given in Jude 1, verses 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. It shows how we are to help and support one another through love. And let patience have her perfect work. James 1:4. Be loyal to God. Seek Him with sincerity and honesty, devotion, without guile and selfishness. And develop those things, the fruits of the Spirit, meekness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, and love. And be forgiving of those who may have done something wrong to you. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. We can't hold a grudge. We have to go ahead and pray for guidance again and help along those lines. Remember, you have the assurance that the very hairs of your head are numbered. And show forth, really, that the Father's watchful eye over you is helping you each day. As we mentioned, through the experiences of our life, our Father's loving face will shine through and help to fulfill everything that we need to be doing in our lives. Grow in grace and knowledge of God. And since you have taken up your cross to follow the Lord, trust in Him. Grow, study, apply, comprehend. Use these tools through the Holy Spirit that He has provided you to go on in this narrow way. Now, brethren, I'm going to ask our six candidates to rise, please, and face me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you several questions and have you acknowledge them so that you enter into members of this body of Christ. Do you realize that you are a sinner, and have you repented of sin, and are you trusting fully in the merit of Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins and as the basis for your justification? Right. Have you made a full consecration of yourself to the Lord, vowing to give your all to the Lord, to be used in His service even unto death? Now, on the basis of these confessions, we acknowledge you as a member of the household of faith and are happy to give you the right hand of fellowship in the name of the glorified Lord and by our Heavenly Father. So, brethren, I'm going to come down and give the right hand of fellowship. If you, brethren, can come kind of swing around this way, if you don't mind. We didn't kind of practice that, so excuse me, brethren. Yeah, Sister Bama, just right over here so you can face over further. All right, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go through and just let you, brother, know who they are. I'm not going to get into detail about their life, but I'm commissioning each of you to meet your new brethren and discuss their life and their goals and what they've been through and how they came to this point today. On my right, we have Bama Breck from Casper, Wyoming. And we have Keith Fisher, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And also then, James Davis, Los Angeles, California. Howie Clare, New Zealand. Alex Marshall, Sacramento, California. Mariana Kausch, Sacramento, California. I'll come down. I'm going to give each of our dear brethren a scripture and extend to them the right hand of fellowship. Sister Bama, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7, 7 through 8.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brother Keith, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4, 13. Brother James. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Brother Howie. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 6. Brother Alex, be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Sister Mariana, now these things, three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Well, here are our dear brethren. We ask the Lord's blessing on them. I'm going to leave these dear ones with one scripture. From Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.